Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
There's a strategy going on. The stage is set. You know, some of the things that I laid out on the earlier program, I'll kind of review. I'll review it, you know, quickly so we can go right in and cover all 10 of these points. Is imagine if a play that's written, there's a playbook somewhere that wrote the script out, and actors, you had to find the right kind of actors. So you went through this, all this, you know, not you, you, maybe you. Oh, we were, what were we thinking when we hired you? That's, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't know what you call that person, but they're getting all the actors together. And then finally, when you get people ready, you're ready to do this play. And you have a lot of dress rehearsals and a lot of dry runs, and you try to kick it off on off street, you know, Broadway. If you don't know how that works, they have like back corner and crevices that you walk quickly to if you're inside. And if it doesn't work there, they keep working on it. And they really, at some point, they think, okay, we're ready to do this thing. They present it out there. They try to pre-sell the tickets for years in advance. And even when they do that, and the audience is about to come, and this play that I'm talking about, this drama that I'm talking about, the audience is America and potentially the world. Because there is a segment that we did on VFN TV called Hegemony Crickets. You know, men still want to rule the world. Hegemony, when you hear that word, you know, which, you know, most people don't, I didn't, you know, you hear it over and over again. It's like, use a word that we can understand. We can understand somebody wants to be king in the mountain.
Right.
But that means people are trying to rule the world. So if you see an Islamic caliphate, that's hegemony. They want hegemony. They believe that Islam should rule over the world. It's not just a religion. It's a political system. And so the stage is set right now, and you're seeing things, and you may be, and my concern is this, because I feel, you know, I'm just human like everybody else. I see that and think, if you hurt one more Jew in Israel who's just praying or walking down the street, it might just rips me apart inside thinking, we're going to sit by why they hack with a meat cleaver, a knife, meat cleaver, a Jewish men that are praying and shoot other ones. And you know, one of the bullets went into one of the Bibles that was there. Why the very person, president, that is being supported by our government, our tax dollars, president Abbas of the Palestinian people, promoted that and said, we need to have a knife uprising. We need to have a knife Fatah, right?
Intifada.
And we just sat back while that happened. And now we make comments like, oh, that's just bad. I mean, it's like you have to understand the stage is set. The stage is set. Israel's going to respond. We have to wake up as the church, because ever how goes the church, ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. What happens in the natural in Israel happens in the spiritual in the church. And so you'll start seeing people, you know, held captive to do the very same thing to the church. And right when God spoke to me, and I've talked about it already on the air. I don't know if it's available yet on to our partners, but hopefully it is. You know, everything we have in the area of the Green Room and teachings and all that is available to our partners just for, you know, saying thank you. But when I was speaking, he showed me about the strife. And he showed me the strife was knives. And I spoke on it. I spoke on it on TV. I spoke on it at the Dream Center. And I said, we got to deal with the spirit of strife in the church. If we don't, and guess what was going on? The next day or two, that's when Abbas, the president of the Palestinian people, said, we will have a knife uprising. What does that mean? Strife. What's going on? That's strife when you're running over folks and you don't know if you're going to get killed today or not. And your prime minister saying, arm yourself because we don't know what's going on. And our president, the president of America, is going like, that's just horrific. You know, it's like the most powerful nation in the world, most powerful military, the very fact that we even exist, you know, as a nation, as we stood with Israel and Israel stood with us, the Jews stood with us. I mean, the Jews stood with America and America stood with the Jews. Long story, we have it on the Twitter. So what's going on? Well, our president, before he was president, when he was Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, before she married Bill Clinton, they were mentored by this man named Saul Alinsky, who has these tactics, these 13 concepts that kind of hammered out over time. Hillary Clinton wrote her thesis on it. We have access to it, but you can find it on the internet. But it's sort of like a utopia. men's version of a utopia versus, hey, God's got one. Why don't we just submit to
Hello?
His? Yeah, are you competing with God? Pol Pot? Anyway, so then in that, also our president worked, taught it for 4 years, these tactics. His campaign organizer, Marshall Gantz, and we talked more about this in the earlier program and previous programs, so we'll have it all related for you. But he talked about it, and that's where I got exposed to it, but I'm listening to Marshall Gantz talk about quoting the polarization of people before you can organize and stuff like this. And I thought, well, that sounds like a good book. I'm going to get it. And when I get the book, I found out it's dedicated to Lucifer. The front cover, under the front cover, you can see it probably right now where it says under the front cover, it says, you know, this is the first person to use these tactics. Let's give a big shout out or dedication or whatever. And it says Lucifer. And the back cover, as you can see right here, the back cover, Chicago Tribune, I believe, is talking about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. They were mentors. They're like brother and sister in regards to having the same mentor in the context of that. Makes me think about Revelation chapter 2. And it's like, so we got to pay attention. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And the whole point of this small portion of folks is to provoke the bigger portion of folks so that in that physical response, all of a sudden you take over and you turn things and you shift things. And that's what's taking place right now in the Middle East. You're watching. We'll talk about that more. So there's 13 rules from this book, Rules for Radicals. And we talked about three of them earlier in an earlier program. But today we're going to talk about starting with number 4. And we're going to read these tactics. These are tactics that our president allegedly taught when he was, you know, working in the organized effort of Saul Alinsky. And which I know for a fact that Hillary Clinton wrote her thesis on, because I have it sitting on my desk. And she was in direct correspondence and relationship with Saul Alinsky, because I have a letter that she wrote to him when he was out of the country wanting to get together to be able to talk about the revelation. The revelation. I was like, whoa. It's like, oh my
wow.
Goodness.
Interesting.
And everybody has a right to do whatever they want. You know, but the whole thing is, so do you. I mean, we have a right to preach the gospel.
That's right.
To live within our constitutional rights and believe, dear God, we can pray, save our country, which I believe that I don't know what the price is going to be. But if we stand up for God, if we stand up for God and country in that order and Israel, and we repent and we turn to God and say, God, here we are. We see it. We're not going to be cowards. We're not going to, you know, give up land. It has to be taken from us. It's going to be taken. Then in that, you know, God can respond. God can respond. Well, that fourth rule in the Rules for Radicals, and there's 13 of them. And the reason why we're talking about them, it helps give you an understanding of what's happening right now in your news, what's been going on now for 6+ years, and realize it's a whole group of folks that are moving in a direction that they believe that America and potentially the world needs to be fundamentally transformed. And the president happens to be president during this time. And some of the things the Lord's shown us is that there's going to be a sudden turning that takes place in the last 2 years of the presidency that could be a powerful, you know, godly turning in that aspect of it. But either way, also turmoil in the last 2 years. So the fourth, and so when you hear these, you're going to realize this is what's been going on. And I started talking about this in the previous program. And we're going to go to break, right? We're going to go to break, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to begin. Is that right? I don't know how much time we have.
About 3 more minutes.
Oh, great. Okay, number 4, then. We're going to go to number 4 because we covered the other 3 already of the 13. This is the driving theme. This is the vision. This is what you do to be able to fundamentally transform a community using these techniques, to fundamentally transform the Middle East. You know, the Middle East needs to be organized. This is what you do to fundamentally transform a nation. If these are your tactics that you operate by. And number 4 is, whenever possible, go outside the expertise of your enemy. Look for ways to increase insecurity, anxiety, and uncertainty. This is the fourth tactic. This is what our president taught. This is what he organized under. This is what Hillary Clinton wrote her paper on. This is what Lucifer uses, they said. Whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Look for ways to increase insecurity, anxiety, and uncertainty. We just talked about justice this week. The biggest underlying word in the Bible right now, according to Amazon.com, is be anxious for nothing. they've increased insecurity. I mean, look at our borders pouring down. Look at our military. Look at the distrust in political leadership. Look at the things that's supposed to go up, but they're down. And things are supposed to go right, they're going left. And things are supposed to go left are going right. And look at marriage. Look at business. Look at everything. It's like, you know, totally outside our paradigm. What's going on right here? They're going outside the expertise of Americans. Mm. And they're looking to increase insecurity, anxiety, and uncertainty. Well, that's fine. We could live in that. If God is our God and America is not our God.
Right.
You know, he said that your peace in the midst of these kind of troubles, your calmness, your trust in the Lord will be a witness to those who don't have that, that you're going to be saved by God and they're going to be destroyed outside them coming to God. So this is a perfect time for your witness to have your trust in God. If your trust is in your 401k, if your trust is in the economy, if your trust is in your religious system, if your trust is in some man and not God, you're going to be, you know, you already are, I mean, but, you know, anxious and insecure. But if your trust is in God, you're just thinking, you know, I need to do what's right during this time. I need to be the light God's called me to be. I need to make Jesus truly the Lord of my life. He's a king and I'm in his kingdom and he needs to have dominion over my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I need to give it to him and let him use every part of me for his glory. Isn't this great?
Yes.
Hearing this is so important. Is this not what's taking place?
It's encouraging, making sense to the sanity that we're, you know, seeing every day, and it really helps out.
Right. And so we want to help you not be angry, but to be wise in response. And this is what God revealed to us. I mean, we were in the same boat. We had asked God. And so we've been learning out loud. And this is what God revealed to us. And the fifth rule, and rules for radicals to go right this, we make sure we cover them all, is, and this is the operating procedure of those who use these techniques to organize something, anything, including a nation. Fifth is, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. If the rule is that every letter gets a reply, send 30,000 letters. You can kill them with this because no one can possibly obey their own rules. I mean, this is being used big time against the church.
Mm-hmm.
The people who want to go out and have some sort of religious argument and throw law at people. It's like, we're going to lose that. If you go out there and you start telling them, you know, well, you know, this is the law. You're telling somebody who doesn't love God, doesn't know God, don't want anything to do with God.
Right.
And you're telling them that this is the law. You know, this is how, you know, this is going to be, this is how that's going to be. That can be turned back on you for the very fact that if you broke one law, you broke them all. And if you press law on somebody else, that law can be pressed back on you. And so we have a light response to that. We have a response to that dark attack because the response is like, wait a minute. We're all sinners saved by grace. If I was coming over in a way that I am righteous in my own self, you know, forgive me. And this goes in detail. We have an entire segment on this, you know. But you would say, you know, but Jesus died for that. So to frivolously say, I can't, what he died for, I can't just openly accept. I'm dependent on him for my own forgiveness and empowerment by his spirit to be able to not do that. But, in that, I can't agree with that. You know, I can't agree with that, but I can love you, you know, and I can let you know that God loves you and that you have an opportunity to make him the Lord. I mean, we go through all those aspects of it. But if you push law, this is so important. The best thing that happened to the enemy is for someone, some legalistic, religious person just to go out there and say, you know, you're breaking this law. And they're going to go, well, you know, I just went through all your personal things and found out you broke 25 laws. And all of a sudden that person is just shot. You're just like, can't be used anymore versus you never should have lifted yourself up. You just got to say, you know, the truth is we've all sinned. We've all fallen short, but I've got to be loyal to God.
Yeah.
You know, such were some of all of us. It's like, yeah, I know. That's what's so good about, that's why it's called good news. He's forgiven me and he will forgive me and he'll forgive you too. He's God of the universe. He's creator of all things. And so we talk about that in that fifth thing. So you're looking right now, if you go law, if you push law, it'll be pushed back and you'll find out that, you know, IRS will be knocking on your door trying to show you that you didn't this or do that or whatever it is. It's some sort of law thing. The sixth rule for radical that this being used and has been used is ridicule is man's most potent weapon. Notice these are things that children use against each other in school. Mm-hmm. These are things that siblings use against each other. It's just flesh. It's just carnality. It's sin. And so Saul Alinsky wrote these 13 sins in a book, dedicated them to Lucifer, who did the first one. The sad thing about it is our leaders right now are using these sins.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, number six of the rules is ridicule is the most, is man's most potent weapon. There is no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into
concessions
that they normally wouldn't have. And so you got to handle ridicule. You got to handle it. And you got to be, you know what? It's consider a that you're, if you're doing it for the right reasons, then you're suffering for the cause of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to quit believing the ridicule that other folks are speaking against your brothers and sisters in the Lord and people who are standing up for the right reasons in America. You just can't buy into that. That ridicule, first of all, we shouldn't ridicule anybody. I mean, you should, mm-hmm. as a Christian, you shouldn't feel comfortable being hateful towards anybody. You shouldn't sleep at night. And if you do, you're hidden, your eyes are covered by the banner of self-righteousness, and that you got a blinding pride in your mind, and you have no idea that you just hurt somebody in all of that. And so we just have to constantly just fall down at the cross and say, Lord, give me eyes to see, you know, make sure I'll have blinders on my eyes that I want to make known for loving folks. And so when we see people ridicule, we should actually, instead of buying into it, we should actually be brokenhearted, maybe calling them up and say, man, I just saw it. They just, mm-hmm. you know, let me, you need to go to VFN TV. You need to listen to these segments because you're being targeted right now. And if you don't understand that, you'll give a dark response to this dark attack instead of a light response, what God expects from us.
I think about Rick Joyner's book, The Torch and the Sword, where he saw in the vision the mother who was so ridiculed, she actually turned back and, you know, gave up and didn't continue to stay in the spiritual fight, if you will.
Right.
And the enemy can wear you out with that. You're done.
Yeah, and it was a vision showing the actual spiritual battles taking place. And her mother was walking alongside with her, but she couldn't handle the ridicule. And nobody can ridicule you like your own close ones, your mm-hmm. the Nazarenes who live, you know, people lived in Nazareth is what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
that they spoke against Jesus and did different things, and your family and those type. You just got to, it is what it is. You know, Jesus said, don't suppose I came to bring peace, but a sword to divide mm-hmm. folks, even in your own home. He's not dividing them from you. They're choosing to be divided from Christ. Therefore, they're divided from you if you're loyal to Christ. And maybe one day, you know, pray they'll be saved. But don't fall to the ridicule. The seventh tactic is, a good tactic is one your people enjoy. This is very important because this whole thing is flesh-driven.
Wow.
It's amazing that all the carnality that happens in these things, the things that make flesh feel good. And he says they'll keep on doing it without, he says, if you'll do this, they'll keep on doing it without urging or coming back to do more. If you don't have this good time,
mm-hmm.
they're doing their thing and they'll even suggest better ones to take place. In other words, if you're doing this, okay, we're gonna have music for this one, but this one over here, we're gonna have, you know, some sort of, we'll go over here to this CEO's house and do this thing, you know, or we'll just kind of keep things, you know, and they got to make it enjoyable. Why? Because it's about flesh. Flesh is about, and it only lasts for a moment. The pleasures of sin for a day.
Mm.
So when it's done that way, they're not going to be happy for long, and so they have to come up with another tactic in using this to make someone's flesh either less painful, you know, from tragedy, or pleasurable. And it's interesting that you can see by praying for ones that the adversary is trying to take advantage of and use to be able to get their agenda, then you'll find out that, you know, God will open their eyes to see. He's like, man, this is not pleasurable at all. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm a victim here. I feel mm-hmm. like I've been used. The eighth tactic is a tactic. He talks about a tactic that drags on too long becomes drag. This is written in the 60s. And so it's got to be constantly changing. It's got to be constantly changing. And you tell me that our current leadership is not brilliant, because you have people that don't understand this. I mean, smart, intelligent people. They even talk about Saul Alinsky and the Rules for Radicals, but then they just push that aside and they just buy right in to the most recent argument. Instead of saying, "Please hold on, hold on, hold on," You know, this all makes sense. It makes really good sense. There's a brilliant thing happening here being put together with these 13 rules. And if we won't buy into it and we'll just look back and say, wait a minute, speak truth and begin to understand, we got to have input into the lives of people in America. We got to bring the light and love and hope and vision for this country, because the opposite is happening. We can do that and change things instead of getting into every single argument. Every time the tactics change, somebody's going like, I can't believe they're doing this now. I can't believe they're doing that now. And then 15 encounters later, yeah, they're saying the same thing. I can't believe they're doing this now. It's like,
it's the playbook.
But it's like, you're highly intelligent. Why would you even continue to say that unless you're just trying to get TV time or something?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or whatever, something to talk about. You need to give them the answer. This is the answer, what we're talking about. This is what the Lord revealed to us. The ninth tactic is keep the pressure on. Never let up. Keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. As the opposition masters one approach, hit them with Affordable Health Care Act. As they attack Affordable Health Care Act, hit them with birth control. As they come against birth control, then hit them with abortion, pay for abortion. That doesn't work. Then hit them with one of the architects of the health care bill saying, you know, Americans are foolish. You have to, these things are not negative things in Alinsky's models. This is called confusion.
That's right.
It's brilliant and how it's being unfolded, but it's not more brilliant than God. It's very strategic and amazing, but it's not a more amazing and more powerful than God. God can, if we will humble ourselves and just forget about this, you know, carnality and basic sin nature of folks and people taking advantage of people, and just turn to God and say, God, what have we done that allowed such a thing in our presence? You know, we forgive us for our sin in our life, and begin to just bring the love of God and pray for this nation and pray for the people in this nation and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're going to see the greatest harvest that the earth has ever seen. So number 10 of the rules for radicals we're seeing happen right in our own country. And you can, instead of thinking like, that's just crazy, you go, that's very strategic. We need to see what's about to happen here. As number 10, it says the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Now we're talking about the rules for radicals. We're talking about what's happening in America right now. The threat, number 10 is, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Imagination and ego can dream up many more consequences than any activist could ever do. In other words, when people say, you know, we're going to flood our borders, and you think, well, you know, we're just, you know, we're 300 something million people. How could that really happen? But you know what? When you let your mind go wild and you take down your shield of faith and you begin to dialogue like, oh, we're going to fall and it's not going to work. And da-da. It says, he's saying that just doing that will just, that rule, that just the fact of having that, what people think that is, will be way worse. So in other words, when people think the borders have been broken, they've succeeded. When people think that Ebola is going to be everywhere, when they say we're not going to quarantine the few people that have it, they succeeded. When they just think that our president, for example, or the Congress or the Senate or our governors are going to, you know, legalize a whole bunch of illegal aliens that have come illegally over the border, no matter what, just to say it creates this whole mindset. And that's a win, whether it happens or not. Notice very few things have ever succeeded. Probably not one of them fully have ever truly succeeded, all the way from, you know, buying old cars back to whatever, you know, different programs that have happened. But the goal is not succession, obviously. The goal is confusion and changing continually, you know, just maxing out the system and keeping the narrative changing continually. And number 10 is the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. And then what we're told as Christians by our God is, you don't be afraid. And he told Joshua, he says, listen, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. For as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Be strong and be very courageous. You want to be successful? Meditate on God's word. Do what he says, and you will be successful. A strategy is, you know, defeat fear in your life. You know, find out facts. You need to know facts, but don't just theorize with the devil at night while you're laying in bed with just the, you know, right, having a talk with Satan in the Garden of Eden. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to end well.
No.
But you find out the facts, and then you can say, you know, this is what's going on. I got, it makes sense. It totally makes really good sense. And it's really strange how the people, really highly intelligent people, you know, are looking. They don't even see it. They don't even see this is going on. And we didn't see it either. God revealed it to us, and we're just sharing to you what the Lord revealed to us. In the 11th of these 13 tactics taught by our president, walked out by Hillary Clinton and our president, is if you push a negative hard enough, this is number 11, if you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. Think about that. If you push a negative hard enough, it will break through and become a positive. What are you looking at? You're looking at Ferguson. You're looking at Ferguson, Missouri. You're looking at Trayvon. You're looking at Wall Street. You're looking at healthcare. You're looking at ISIS and ISIL and Hamas and Hezbollah and Muslim Brotherhood. You're looking at Arab Spring. I mean, you just push and just push and push and push and push. I mean, whatever it is, it just happens. You look at, you know, marriage and all the things that are happening. Just push it, push it, push it, push it. And he says, if you push a negative hard enough, it will break through. At some point, it will just break through. And there's been more breakthroughs of negative outcomes for this nation, I believe, since this nation never existed. And he says, and it will become a positive. How many things that America never would have ever accepted, ever would have accepted, now it's just like, yeah, it's okay. It's totally okay. Because they pushed the negative hard enough till it pushed through and it became a positive. Then they go on to say and break that down, number 11. They said violence from the other side. In other words, if you react violent, if you swing, and you don't need to do that, don't be violent. That's not what we're called to do. But he says in his book, violence from the other side can win the public to your side because the public sympathizes with the underdog. If, in fact, for example, the police, when the police came out in Ferguson with this military gear on and these tanks, and you're looking at this assault rifle pointing straight down at this one man, you know, with his hands in the air, you know, that was a picture for, you know, that caused the nation to say, you know what, that's a little overkill. That's way overkill, you know, and overdoing it. And so it kind of pushed this whole narrative, and they keep working. As a matter of fact, just recently, we had three officials from Washington, D.C. go to Ferguson to be able to keep it going. They're like, say, the words are coming from our leader saying, keep it going. He's like, keep what going?
Crazy.
It's the Saul Alinsky tactics. It's these rules for radicals. That's what it is, because there's people that believe by doing this, there will be fundamental transformation in our nation. There has to be a fuse. There has to be that massive amount of people that we talked about in the beginning of this program, the last program, the first rule, I believe it is. So you got it. It takes that intense energy. Well, how do you keep people excited? I don't know. Have the president's right-hand man show up.
Right.
Have the attorney general show up.
Wow.
Which I thought was pretty cool. You know, he showed up, he looks at this one guy, and they're like, he's going to give me, you know, a handshake or something. The attorney general looks at him and says, he had shorts on. He's like, get some pants. I love that, because he's like, you know, I'm sure he's like, thinking like, this is not working. You know, you need to dress respectable.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to make a, because there's understand, I believe that there's some really good points trying to be made with bad technique.
Yeah, absolutely.
With these wrong ways of doing it. But with America Send, I mean, when you look at what America has done, you're looking at people taking advantage of our pain, our scars, yeah, and our unhealed areas, and they're using these tactics, these dark tactics, to try to bring about a light income, and that won't happen. But Dr. King didn't do that, and look how things turned out.
That's right.
Dr. King. And so the 12th of the 13 rules for radicals is, and we're going over these so that you can look at the news and you can hear what's going on, and hopefully encourage you to go listen to the series, Organizers of the Night versus Organizer, Jesus of the Day. Know that Saul, who later became Paul, Apostle Paul, he was an organizer. He organized people against the church. That's what he was doing. And he was en route to go organize some people against the church on the road to Damascus when he encountered the organizer of the light, the organizer of the day, Jesus, and knocked him off of his high horse. And God totally blinded him for 3 days and then said, now I want you to work for me, the organizer, the supreme organizer. And so he submitted his talents to God, And God began to use those organizing techniques under God's leadership. Paul did not usurp Jesus. He submitted himself to Jesus, and now the ability to organize was used. So it's a positive thing, and he's began to organize the Gentile part of the church. And so you got to get this whole series, because Lord showed me specifically, I mean, in detail, that there's many people right now that are Christians or profess to be Christians that are so excited about Jesus. I mean, they're so excited about him. You talk to them, they're like just pumped. But they're just as excited about darkness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like going to India and saying, you know, what do you think about this God? They go like, it's good. You know, I put him with the other million gods right here versus there only is one God. And so you got to be either children of the light or children of the night. You can't be them both. And he showed me very specific, this whole dream, this whole visions in that teaching series. You need to be able to get it and listen to it, because we got to make up our mind. Are we going to be children of the light or children of the night? You know, which one are we going to be? And so this 12th tactic of darkness in organizing here is the price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. The price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Never let the enemy score points because you couldn't work out a solution to your problem. And to me, this is what it's looking like to me, because the answer is not a political answer. But how many people who are in a different party than the present leadership party complaining about the choices of the present party? And it's like, you don't even have a clear alternative.
Yeah.
And how in the world can you actually lead a people when you don't even have a vision for the people? And it just seems like to me you have two groups that have been using the same tactics. And it's time for us to let God organize this country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's time for us to say, Lord, we are so sorry for all of our political manipulation and buying offices and buying seats and getting, you know, thinking that you're the reason America exists. And all of our rights come from God, not from man, not from D.C. And so for the very fact that they don't even have a clear alternative, you know, supposedly, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, the mic of America, supposedly the Harvard, Yale, whoever grads, it's like you could put together a video and go on TV and say, this is our vision for healthcare, you know, but there is no vision. There's no clear vision. While they target and use the same techniques that the others are using, and they blame something like Harry Reid, or they blame something like Bonner, or what's his name?
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Boehner.
And so it's the same kind of techniques going. It's time for the church to rise up and say, you know what? This is not the original intent of this nation. We need to be like Dr. King in regards to, let's get back. Let's hold our country to what's written on the paper.
That's right.
The Constitution. And the very last one, and this is the original thing that got me into, led me this way when I heard Marshall Gantz, the campaign, one of the campaign managers for President, then Senator Barack Obama, when he talked about these are the techniques that he used, was polarizing. And he said very specifically when he was being interviewed by Bill Moyer, and I believe Bill Moyer, he must somewhere in his heart love America. He's like, are we playing for public TV for you to come against our nation? Anyway, so I'm listening to him, and he says, you have to understand that an organizer has to be schizophrenic. In other words, don't try to think logically about what they're doing, because they're like a running back on a football team with a ball. They may go left, they may go right, they may fake you this way, they're just trying to score a touchdown. They don't care how the run goes down as long as they make it across the goal. That's what an organizer is. And so this kind of organizer. And so he said you first have to polarize the people, polarize them, to organize them. And then once you organize them, then you settle where you want to do. In other words, if you wanted to get the traffic light at the intersection and nobody was interested in traffic and nobody was interested in, you know, I don't have time for it, I'm so busy, but everybody was totally interested in, I don't know, air conditioning in their houses, right? And it was real hot. So you organize around, I believe that the air conditioners are going to go out, you know, and everybody goes like, what? Right? And they get involved in that instead of moving in a direction. Then all of a sudden, what happens? People organize around, it's going to be hot. You know, it's pollution, maybe. Remember? They're finding a reason why they're organizing. And so you don't realize it, but at some moment, all of a sudden, they're going to be in a meeting and say, in the back of the room with their arms crossed while you're in the front of it, did you ever think about those deaths at the intersection? Did you ever think about Bobby? Let me tell you about Bobby. Bobby was 18 years old, and he had this future in front of him. He was a straight-A student, and he was coming to the intersection. Do you know where the intersection is? And that red light, traffic light wasn't there. And because there was no traffic light, he had no future. His life ended. I'll never forget his funeral. And it makes me think about when I was coming through an intersection once, and that if it wasn't for that traffic light, Bobby didn't have one, but the traffic light kept me and my family from being killed. How about you? Have you ever gone through an intersection before? Have you ever gone through an intersection before and just took for granted traffic lights? And all of a sudden it switches from air conditioning, pollution, or whatever to going like, you know what? We were just talking to the leaders last week. We need a traffic light. They weren't even thinking traffic light, but you know what? They told them a story, and the story represented pain. Then they told them his personal story, and this is what happened to me. And then he brought them into the story, and all of a sudden they could sense that. And next thing you know, guess what? Hitler's narrative began to reign amongst people. One day, they were against the Jews and the Christians, but he told the story, and they bought into it, and they saw themselves, and people began to do what they can't figure out. Why in the world would anybody do something like that? So here is the final 13th tactic of Saul Alinsky's writings and methodologies, which he taught to Barack Obama before he was senator and president, and what he taught to Hillary Clinton before she had married Bill Clinton. She was Hillary Rodham, I guess, then. And we have all these details for you in this entire series. You need to hear the details, but we're giving an overview to help you understand. We're reading off these 13 rules to understand this is what's taking place. And what I'm about to say, this 13th rule, you're going to notice it's an accumulation of all these, but also you're going to notice it's been done over and over and over and over. You could pick any one thing that we've dealt with in the last six some odd years, and this tactic has been done to it. And this is the 13th rule. The 13th rule is pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. I'll do it again. Number 13, the final one. Pick the target, Israel, freeze it. These Zionists are doing all the negative things they're saying about Israel, right? Personalize it. You know, they're just taken away. This is nothing but like apartheid. This is like they're holding back. And they begin to personalize it. And then they polarize it. We need to organize the Middle East. We need to divide everybody. We'll divide, you know, the Shiites from the Sunnis. We'll divide the, you know, the North from the South. We'll divide, and it's polarized everything over there. Hacked it all up. And he goes on and says, cut off the support network. Isolate the target from sympathy. I mean, think how that's been done with Israel. Cut off the support network. They're trying to get Americans to say, don't support Israel. You're looking at, on our earlier program, Spain voting like other nations now, there's no force behind it, but voting in to accept a Palestinian state. Cut off the support network. Isolate the target from sympathy. You got 12 million? You got a country that's like, you know, 60 miles wide at its widest point, this little small country, and trying to survive this blessing. If you've missed our entire series about how they're blessing the world, I mean, so many things that you have right now has come out of Israel. And in all of this darkness is trying to blind the world's eyes to realize they're a blessing to the nations. And now this little small country, that the sympathy, you're watching the sympathy factor just drop dramatically. You're having kids that, you know, we were in the Stand for Israel rally. We had these young men that are marching in opposition to that and for, you know, what, the Hamas situation in Gaza. And we started talking to them. They didn't even know, but they believed all this narratives. Yeah. But once we told them what was going on, then they go, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that, which we talked about earlier, one of our earlier tactics there that they wrote about. And it says, cut off the support network and isolate the target from sympathy. Go after people and not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions.
Wow.
We talked about ridicule. I mean, think about ridicule and going after people. Did you just really call the prime minister of Israel 5-6 different horrific names, including chicken poop? I can't even say it, but they said that from the White House?
Yeah.
They're personally attacking Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. They're personally attacking. You got to first pick a target. What is the target? Okay, we'll pick the target. The target is, I don't know, the Catholic Church, because they want birth control. They're against birth control,
mm-hmm.
which calls the rest of the church that's not Catholic, who's open to birth control, to begin to divide and go, wait a minute, you don't even allow birth control? I didn't even know.
Right.
And, you know, all of a sudden that polarized, they picked a target, and all of a sudden everybody began to talk about birth control instead of the actual Health Care Act. Nobody even talked about that anymore. They've changed the argument. It was just brilliant, but you think, I mean, there's 300 something million of us. Somebody would have noticed that take place, but no, they're arguing the birth control thing.
Wow.
So they pick a target over and over again. They're doing it right now. What's the target right now? They picked this young man, tragic loss to his life in Ferguson, and that's the target. You got to freeze it. You got to personalize it. Don't you have a son that wears a jacket like that? Don't you have a son that comes back from the store? And don't you see police officers riding through your community? And you have to polarize it. And therefore, you need to divide yourself from law enforcement. You need to divide yourself from people that are not like you. You need to divide yourself. Pick a target. Freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it.
Yeah.
Cut off support network and isolate the target from sympathy. Have no sympathy. I mean, how many people right now are speaking with negative comments about something that we don't even understand, that we are entrusting the Constitution, the grand jury that's in Ferguson, to say, you know, let's just go ahead and submit it to the peers, the jury of our peers in Ferguson, and let them tell us, let them... And it's like they're not even letting that happen. They're actually coming ahead of time and assuming that it's going to be. They're promoting this whole concept of it's Saul Alinsky.
Yeah.
It's 13 Rules for Radicals. This is organizers of the dark. We're being organized by the tactics of Lucifer, according to Saul Alinsky, if we allow that. Because you have to understand the majority of us, the middle class, is a huge number. That we just want to go to work. We want to be able to do our job. We want to take care of our families. But you know what? There comes a day and time. If you look at the history of this country, you got to stand up for it. You got to vote. Mm. You got to get educated. You got to speak the truth. You got to actually truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ and know his ways and begin to represent him well in your community, in your family, in this nation. It's time for us to stand up and be the light of the world. We're commanded by Jesus Christ. Not to yell at folks, not to use these horrific tactics on folks, to let them know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life and that God's plan's better than any man's plans. Even in their own writings of Lucifer's tactics, they say you'll never be satisfied. We have to change the plan continually because your flesh will never. Why? Because the pleasures of sin for a day will not satisfy for a lifetime. Listen, the first thing you do is make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Second thing you do, you become his disciple. Third, begin to abide with him. And fourthly, quit keeping Jesus Christ a secret. He is the Son of the God of the universe, and he gave his life for us. And if we will follow him, he will give us our rights, restore our constitution, and let us potentially keep this nation. And a third great awakening, I believe, will explode across not only this nation, but the entire world will be touched. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.